If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Psalm 90. When Pastor Ross asked me a couple weeks ago to teach on these few weeks, it was pretty quickly the Lord put a thought in my mind and a thought in my heart. And it's interesting. Sometimes as I'm studying the Bible or having devotions, and God will give me a thought or a message sometimes, and you know, God will tell me that's going to be a future message, right? A future lesson to teach, and I won't know when or where or when that'll be. But then when God gives me the opportunity to speak, he brings that lesson back to mind and says, this is when you're going to teach that. And so I had this thought some time ago, or these thoughts. And so when the Lord gave me this opportunity and he brought these back, thoughts back to mind and says, this is when you're going to teach. And so I worked on developing it a little bit more. And so hopefully it's a blessing to you. We're going to talk about God this morning. Can we do that? Can we talk about God? Is that okay? We're going to talk about not only God, but we're going to talk about the everlasting God, the fact that God is an everlasting God. If you found Psalm 90, if you are able, if you could stand with me, we'll read just the first two verses of Psalm 90. Psalm 90 as we stand. It says in Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even, get this, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity, and I pray that you'd be with me as I speak. Help me to only speak what you give me to speak, and that you would just speak through me, fill me with your spirit, and help all who are here today in class to just understand the message from your word and just be encouraged and drawn closer to you through it. We thank you for everyone being here today. I pray that you'd bless the other classes as well. And we thank you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we notice there in Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And just the first point I want to make is our God is an everlasting God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 also says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. But not only is our God an everlasting God, our soul is an everlasting soul. Our soul will last for eternity somewhere. John chapter 6, verse 47 says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, right? There will come a point in time, whether it's through death or through the rapture, where our soul enters eternity and will live forever. And life after death is also everlasting, right? Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, or those who have passed on, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So no matter what side of eternity a person ends up on, Lord willing, they're saved. And, you know, as far as I know, the majority of us here are saved, and hopefully everybody. We will live somewhere for eternity, right? There's two sides of eternity, right? We forget about that sometimes. There's two sides of eternity. There's heaven and there's hell. But it is everlasting. And most of the times, though, when we think of everlasting, at least speaking for myself, when we think of everlasting or eternity, we're usually thinking of the future, future tense, right? Continuing on forever, right? So in that sense, in that context of future everlasting, we as humans are kind of like our Lord and Savior in that our soul shall never die, but will continue living into eternity. But There's another aspect of everlasting, another aspect of eternity that we don't often think about. But if we look at everlasting in the past tense, in this sense, we are not like the Lord in that our souls did not always exist. Obviously, our bodies did not always exist. There was a point in time, conception, where we came into being. Of course, in the beginning, when God created man, the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So therefore, mankind had a beginning. Each and every individual person has a beginning. And likewise, when we at salvation, when, of course, Jesus told Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He's talking about your spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, our spirit becomes alive. It was dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. But then our spirit was made alive in Jesus Christ. That was the day we were spiritually born and our spirit came to life, right? And that was the moment of the beginning of our eternal life. And when Romans says the gift of God is eternal life, personally, I don't believe that eternal life begins after we die. That eternal life began the moment our spirit became alive. But God is a little bit different. See, he not only always will be in the future, but he always was and always has been. And that's a thought that's a little difficult to understand sometimes. It's a little difficult to wrap our human brains, our human comprehension around that thought. That not only will God exist forever, everlasting, to everlasting, but according to Psalm 90 that we just read, from everlasting, from eternity past. God never had a beginning. God always was, always existed. And it's kind of, like I said, it's a little hard for us to wrap our minds around that at times, but that's okay, right? That's why God gave us faith. God gave us faith for a reason. And one day when we see Christ, our faith will be put to rest. We will need it no more. Our faith will be made sight. And that will be a glorious day. In Psalm 93, if you just flip over a couple psalms to Psalm 93, we're going to read Psalm 93, 1 and 2. Psalm 93, 1 and 2. It says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting." That's another word, another mention of the word from. They're from everlasting. He always existed. He always was. Understanding that... we have to understand that God exists in eternity. Sometimes we want God to operate on our timetable and according to our time and our plans, but God exists outside of time, right? God sees time and every aspect of time from outside of time. He compasses time. God existed, obviously, before creation. Right? Colossians 1, 15 through 17 tells us who, that's Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. Doesn't say he was before all things. He is, because he exists outside of time, right? He is continuing before all things, and by him all things consist. He exists before, during, and after creation all at once. It's kind of hard to fathom that. He sees it all at once. And so if you could look back, if we look a little bit at this everlasting God throughout time, from the beginning of time till now, if you could look back at Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. And some of these scriptures I'm just going to read because I've written them into my notes. If you want to turn to them, you can, but I am just going to go ahead and read them. So Genesis chapter 21, verse 33, says, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." So Abraham, some 5,000 years ago, give or take a few years, he recognized that God is an everlasting God. And he didn't have the scriptures, all the scriptures that I've been reading to you this morning, saying that God, telling him that God is an everlasting God. Abraham knew purely based on his relationship with God that he is an everlasting being, based on what God told him, "I'm the God of your fathers," and you know, through creation. Or Abraham knew and recognized that God was an everlasting God, from everlasting to everlasting. And I was just talking with an individual yesterday, and we were talking about how it's amazing that the Bible, this is just a fact that gives validity to the whole Bible, is that if you look at, you know, you compare scripture with scripture, right? You look at a verse in the Old Testament and you look at a verse in the New Testament, and they never contradict each other. They only solidify each other. And the Bible was written, obviously the words are of God, inspired by God, but God used men to write the Bible, 40 some men over a period of 1500 years or more. And they never contradict each other, right? Only God can do that. That's an incredible thing. And only an everlasting God can do that. Only a God who existed before time, throughout time, and after time can do that. No other book can be written that way. So a few thousand years later, after we just talked about Abraham, right? When Jesus was here on this earth, Jesus, who we just saw, is before all things. Let's see what he had to say about Abraham. The Jewish leaders were arguing with Jesus and basically telling him that because, well, Abraham and our fathers, they're all dead, right? They all died. And so how can you speak of the resurrection and of eternal life? And how can you speak of such things? Because we know that, you know, obviously our wisdom is better than yours, Jesus, right? And so how can you speak of these things if they're all dead? And so Jesus told them in John chapter 8, 56 through 58, he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" I could almost hear the mocking tones in their voice. "You've seen Abraham, really?" Well, Jesus saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Kind of gives you chills, right? I am, right? And you think about the other times throughout Scripture when God used that terminology, I am, right? With Moses, and Moses said, "Well, who should I tell Pharaoh sent me," right? I am, right? The one who exists, or the everlasting God. The one who exists outside of time, the creator of it all, I am, has sent you. And then I think of, I don't know the exact passage of scripture off the top of my head, but when Jesus had been, the night before his crucifixion, praying in the garden, and Judas betrayed him, and the soldiers came to take him, and they asked, are you this Jesus? Are you the one we're looking for? And I believe he said, "I am he," but he used those words, "I am he." And I think there was significance to that, because when he said that, all of the soldiers, every single one of them who came to take him away, says they fell backward on the ground at the power of Jesus' words. And amazingly, Jesus stood there and waited for them to get up and take him away. I am. And it's still the same Jesus, the same God, that we serve today. I am. He still exists. If we were to ask, if we could talk, of course we do talk directly to God, but if we could hear an audible voice from God, he talks to us through his word and through his spirit, but if we heard a physical voice from God and we could say directly to him, like, "Who are you? What do we call you?" He would say the same thing today. I am. And he's the reason why we do what we do. He's the reason why we're here today. He's the reason why we have the Bible, why we study the Bible, why we teach the Bible, why we have, you know, our fall program, all our special Sundays to get, you know, help visitors come to church, get to know about God, get introduce them to I Am. Fast forward a little bit while later from Abraham, and we look at Jeremiah, the God of Jeremiah. What did Jeremiah have to say in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10? He says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. And I thought it was interesting where he says he is the everlasting King. Not just everlasting God, but everlasting King. Because what do kings do? They reign. They rule above it all. And he is the everlasting King. He's the everlasting King of kings and Lord of lords. And I don't know if you're like me or not, but I like to, of course, nobody likes to just watch the news because it's pretty terrible and, you know, pretty depressing sometimes. But I do like to just do my best to keep up with what's going on in the world, what's going on in our country, and listen to certain specific people and get their takes on different political happenings and things like that. And just to at least, very least, be aware of what's going on and, you know, help us to know how to pray for our nation, how to pray for the world. And but sometimes it is downright depressing, right? Sometimes it's just negative after negative after negative. And it's like, what is this world coming to? And but the amazing thing is that we can assure ourselves that with all the turmoil, without all the wars going on around the globe, around the, you know, with all the political turmoil, there is a God who reigns above it all. There is a King who reigns above it all, and he is an everlasting King. And all the evil in this world, all the evil rulers who try to rule and reign, they will have their day. They will have their day one day before the everlasting King of Kings, and they will face their judgment. And one preacher that I heard several years ago, he pointed out how it's pretty amazing how during World War II, of course, Adolf Hitler, right? Everybody knows that he slaughtered 6 million or more Jewish people, and it wasn't just the Jews he was after. There was more, and we all know that. But 6 million Jews that were killed during the Holocaust, and how amazing it is one day that Adolf Hitler will have to bow the knee before a Jew, right? Before Jesus Christ, who is of the seed of David. Pretty awesome when you think about it. There's, in keeping up with, just trying to do my best to keep up with what's going on, there is a specific podcast I like to listen to where it's done by a Christian guy, and he talks about a lot of political issues and such, and every episode of his podcast, he ends with playing a scripture verse that says, I believe it's from Luke chapter 8, where it says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known or come abroad. Because God sees all, God knows all, and it will all come to pass. Will all be known. Fast forward a little bit to Daniel, right? The book of Daniel, or actually, we'll see the everlasting God in Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, verse 3. Daniel says, how great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from, get this, generation to generation. There will always be those who try to eliminate God's people. Of course, we just talked about the Holocaust, Adolf Hitler, but that's just one example. You could look at, you know, even biblical examples, right? You had Haman in the book of Esther, wanted to wipe out all the Jewish people, right? Because as long as God's kingdom exists, right, And until the devil has his day of judgment, he will always be out to attack God's people, right? And so you could look at stories upon stories and illustrations throughout history and time from the Bible and just from history of God's people being under attack, whether that's the Jewish people or even Christians, right? We don't fully understand like how blessed and how well we have it in the United States, and how the level of a Christian persecution that does take place in today's world, in other countries throughout the world, the Middle East and others, and Asian countries and things like that, how hard it is to be a Christian in those countries and practice Christianity. And a lot of countries, you can't do it openly. You can't show your faith openly. If you do, you'll be prosecuted or persecuted. And of course, in the new, if you do follow the news at all, right, you've probably seen everybody's talking about Charlie Kirk, right, and what happened with him. And I was a fan of his, and I appreciated everything he did and stood for. And probably, I think, every time I, you know, it's been a week and a half or so since he was killed. And every time I go on my social medias, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, almost everybody's posts, they're still about Charlie Kirk, right? They're still about, because so many people are posting what he meant to them and his messages and things like that. And obviously part of the reason why he was killed was for his faith. His political stances, but his political stances were conservative based on Christian morals, right? He was a Christian man, and that was why he was killed. But the incredible thing is, nothing like that takes God by surprise, right? God saw it before it was coming, right? God knew it was going to happen. God knew Stephen was going to be stoned, right? But God uses those, and we don't understand why, right? Sometimes, you know, those things happen. But God uses those things to further his cause, right? Because now you see countless stories and countless examples of, you know, people just looking at what happened to Charlie Kirk, and they're saying, I need to go to church. I want to learn more about what he stood for. And it's just pretty amazing to see how God can use something like that. And no matter how, the point I'm trying to get across is, no matter how dark the attack seems sometimes, no matter how hard the devil tries to take out God's people, they never will. They never will succeed. There will always be a remnant, at least, and God will use, again, these situations to multiply and grow his kingdom. Why? Because of what we just read in Daniel chapter 4. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, right? It is, and it's amazing to me that the person who committed the act of taking Charlie Kirk's life, right? I'm not sure how he thought that was going to make a difference for his cause, right? Because when somebody dies in that way, it only encourages the rest of the world, right, to pick up the torch, right, and keep going, keep the flame going. And his death basically works as a witness, right? It only increases people in the faith, the people, you know, people coming to the Lord, people getting on the right track at least. And so, again, I'm not sure what they think is going to happen, but, you know, if they would just stop and realize, wait a minute, if I'm going to attack him in this way, it's only going to increase his cause. So anyway, that's just the way I think about it. But Daniel says, from generation, in the end of the verse here, his dominion, God's dominion, is from generation to generation, right? So that generation to generation has not stopped, right? And God working in each and every generation to this day, right? If we could, I'd love to actually count how many physical human generations it is that goes back to Daniel's day. But regardless of how many it is, God's dominion, his kingdom, continues generation to generation. You will never, as hard as they try, they will never be able to wipe out God and his kingdom. Isaiah, I'm going to flip there because when I wrote down the scripture in my notebook, I don't believe I wrote down the right reference, so I'm going to turn there myself. So I'm turning to Isaiah chapter 63, hoping that that's the correct verse that I want. Isaiah chapter 63. And we're actually just about done. Isaiah chapter 63. Verse 16. Yes. Isaiah 63, verse 16. I'll give you a moment to get there. Isaiah 63, verse 16 says, "Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting." It's amazing. We just mentioned Abraham because we were just talking about Abraham, right? And they said, even though Abraham doesn't know who we are, and it's amazing the Jewish leaders in Jesus' time, they're looking back to Abraham and holding him high on a pedestal. Abraham doesn't even know who they are, right? Abraham doesn't, he isn't even taking a single thought of them because he's in eternity now. But though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father. That's an incredible thing that God, this God that we're talking about, the everlasting God, the creator of the universe, that he would be willing and loving enough to be our Father, have that relationship with us, our Redeemer, right? Redeemed us from sin. Thy name is from everlasting. That's pretty incredible. Like we mentioned, this is why we do what we do. It's why we still preach the gospel today, 2,000 years after Jesus was here on this earth. He was crucified, risen, he ascended into heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and gave us the command to just preach the gospel until he comes, right? It is exactly why we do what we do, because his name is everlasting, right? We could shut our mouths, we could stop speaking the truth, we could stop sharing the gospel, but even if we did, we're not going to hinder God's kingdom. We're not going to hinder, we might not further it in a way that God wished we would and be used of him to do God's work, but my point is God's name will still exist. God's name is an everlasting name. And I look forward to the day, like I said, our faith will be made sight, right? We will need faith no longer. When we stand before God and in his presence, it's going to be a glorious day. When we can see things from now, when we enter eternity, we'll see things from a very different light, from God's perspective, from God's point of view, and we'll see how all things worked together on this earth, things that, again, we don't understand, right? Things that we just don't make any sense to us. We don't know what God is doing, but we trusted God through them, and one day we'll see how they all were part of God's plan. So I'm going to close by reading our text verses again, Psalm 90, 1 through 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And it's amazing, the same wording, all generations. That's what Daniel just said. From generation to generation, it continues on. Before the mountains were brought forth, or if ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, that is before creation, even from everlasting eternity past to everlasting eternity future, thou art God. He always was, always is, always will be. He is, I am. And I'm thankful that we get to serve that great I am. Right, the great I am still is. There's a song that says that, the great I am still is, and that's super exciting. So I hope that was a blessing and encouragement to you. Next week, we're going to kind of continue this thought, and we're going to talk specifically about several of God's attributes, that God says are everlasting. A couple of them off the top of my head. God's mercy is everlasting. His love is everlasting. His righteousness is everlasting. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of those things next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to go and say a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to teach this lesson and just talk about you and uplift you and talk about how amazing you are. Thank you for giving me the words to say. And I pray that the lesson this morning was an encouragement to everyone here today. I know it was a blessing to me as I prepared it. And I pray that you just help me as I prepare next week's lesson as well, that would be an encouragement as well. I pray that as the other classes are finishing up, that you would bless them. And as we prepare for Sunday morning service, help us to keep our hearts in tune with you and ready for what you have for us, ready to worship you, to meet with you, and just ready to hear what you have for us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.